And today, the question is, I have a friend who wants to know how much priority should the church have in his life. Difficulties in managing time and including church activities, things like church activities, sports, work, family, things like that. And recap from last week we talked about people who find difficulty in identifying with the church and getting rooted in. And I dealt with two questions. The first question I dealt with was, is it important for us to become a member of a local church? And at the end of that message, I hope all of us agree that it is important to be part and parcel and to be a member of a church, because that will determine how we grow. Alright, that will determine how we grow. Question number two was, what exactly are we looking for when it comes to searching and identifying with a particular church? And I lay out three essential things or key elements that we want to look for. The first one is beliefs of the church. Okay. Second one is, mutual, which is fellowship. Alright, the third one, vision, right? The vision of the church. And the vision of the church is JC. You know, funny, because a few years back, I was exactly at the same spot when Pastor Ed always asked me, pick on me. So today, I'm going to pick on you. The vision of the church is, all right, empowering the generation, impacting the nation. And so today, we're going to move on. And I want to take it from there, because last week, we talked about this question where, is it important to be a member of the church? All right, but today, we're talking about priorities. And priorities has to do with what? It has to do with importance, right? How much you put, importance you put into something. That talks about priority. And while we ask the question, is it important to be a member of a church? Today I want to ask the question, why then is the church important? Why then is the local church important, so much so that all of us must be connected to a church? Okay, why is the local church so crucial in our belief? So, right now, if you know my style of preaching, I like to do a bit of activity lah. Okay, I coach a lot, I do a lot of team building, so, you know, must put all this into practice. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna, if you have a piece of paper with you, if you don't have a piece of paper, you're gonna take out your handphone for once. Alright? I'm gonna allow you to take out your handphone. Alright, so you're gonna take out your handphone, you're gonna, list down top five priorities. Alright, one being the most important one. Okay? Your highest and most important priority. Alright, your top five. Okay, right now at this stage of your life, okay, I want you to list down five. Okay, I give you 1 minute. Shouldn't be that hard, right? One being the most important, fifth being the least. Top five priorities, things that you hold high regards for, that, you know, constantly is in your mind, thinking about it, doing about it. What are those five? It could be more, but I just want five for now. That piece of paper or whatever you typed out on your handphone, or whatever means that you have written down, that is for your eyes only. Alright, that is for your evaluation, okay, for you to view and to, you know, hopefully at the end of the message today, you will look at it and, you know, have a different perspective of things. And today I'm not here to, you know, judge you never put the local church, you know, of top priority, and then, you know, you're a sinner. I'm not going to do that. I'm not here to judge. But what I attempt to do is to not primarily to move up church to number one spot, but to show you the importance of church in your life. All right. My primary goal is to show you the importance, and hopefully by showing you the importance, you will know where your priority should be. Alright, you are not here to say, okay, you know, your church is number three, cannot, must push to number one. but more so to know the importance, and then at the end of the message you are able to evaluate where your heart is in regards to church priority. Now, all of us, okay, at different stage in life, we have different priorities. All right? So you cannot say my priority is more important than your priorities. Okay, but all of us, okay, so for the younger ones, maybe exam is, you know, SPM or education is priority. For the older one, maybe work, career, family, relationship, things like that. So we have to face the fact that in life we have different priorities, and that is a constant struggle in our Christian life, because we ask the question, how then do we juggle? How then do we balance, our life? Is there even a balance that should be there? Okay, so today what I want to do is to ask again two questions. Alright, I'm going to ask two questions again to hopefully dissect things into clearer form. So instead of asking, before I dive into the how do you manage time when it comes to, you know, church priority. If I have a floorball event, you know, how then, do I go for the floorball event or come to church? You know, all these type of questions, you know, if, you know, I have a family thing that come up, should I go for the family thing? Or I'm not going to answer the how to yet, because I think the more important question that we have to deal with is why. Okay, why is church important in our Christian walk and our Christian life? Alright, so question number one today that we're going to deal with is, why is it important to prioritize the local church into our lives? Alright, question number one, why is it important to prioritize local church into our lives? Alright, let's turn to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16 verse 13 onwards. Alright, a familiar passage, to all of us, but I'm gonna use this passage today to, bring out five, key elements that shows why is it important for us to hold, the local church high regards and high importance. Okay, so let's read from Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "What or who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Alright, so a very familiar passage to all of us. And I want to use this passage to bring out, to answer this question of why is it so important to prioritize local church into our lives. Alright, and I want to point out five key elements that we can take note from this passage that affirms that it is important to prioritize the local church. Now, let's take a look at verse 13. Okay, verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So he asked the question, okay, he asked the question to the disciples, you know, who do you say I am? Basically, what Jesus is doing right now, he is dealing with the disciples' core belief. Alright, he's asking a very, very deep question that cuts right into their core system. Alright, the question of who do you say I am? Am I just a prophet or basically am I God? Alright, which one do you believe? And that is the crux of the life of the disciples. And he's asking this question to really question the belief system and the core foundation of the disciple. And of course, you know, Peter being Peter, he's the first one to answer. Alright, and what did he say? He acknowledged that Christ is the Son of the living God. Right? He was the first to stand up and acknowledge who Jesus was and what was Jesus' reply. All right, Jesus said, you know, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. All right, and he said that this is not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by his Father. So here we see that whenever there is a confession of faith, God gives us a new identity. All right, Jesus goes on to say that you are Peter. All right, upon this rock I will build my church. It talks about whenever we acknowledge who Christ is, whenever we ask this question to ourselves, who do we believe? All right, and our question is, if our answer is yes, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, we must understand and we must acknowledge that in that confession of faith, something supernatural or spiritual responsibility is laid upon us immediately, whether we like it or not. All right, and that responsibility is this new identity that we have in Christ Jesus, this new mission that we have. All right, so Peter, Jesus first and foremost dealt with the individual. All right, he asked this question to each of us. All right, in this case, Peter was the individual, or the disciples was the individuals that Jesus dealt with. Likewise, in our lives, whenever we ask the question, is it important to prioritize church? I think the question we have to ask ourselves, or backtrack a little bit more, is who do we believe? Okay, who do we acknowledge God is? Jesus is. If our answer is Jesus is the Son of the Living God, then something has to be laid upon us. We have to acknowledge that a responsibility is laid upon us almost immediately. A new identity. A new identity that comes along with that confession of faith. Okay? And so Jesus, the first point is this, okay? The first element is this. Jesus deals with the individual first. The church is important, but the church is made up of individual. And God always wants to deal with the individual first, our core belief. And if our belief is that Jesus is the Son of the Living God, then we must acknowledge that there is a responsibility that comes upon the confession of faith. So Jesus questioned the foundational basis of our core belief, because that would direct and set the priority in our Christian walk and calling. All right, if Peter answered, you know, you're just another prophet, okay, I don't think Peter would have, you know, be as zealous as he was. But because he knew who Christ was, he was willing to put his life on the line. He was willing to, put his life on the line for Christ, because he know who God is. And he knows, once he understood that, he understood the responsibility that came upon with that confession of faith. Alright, so the first important thing about prioritizing church is coming back to ourselves, the individual. Alright, the individual. It's not whether I attend church every Sunday, you know, I don't think that is the question that we should ask, you know, or if I don't attend, then what happens? But the question is, who do you acknowledge Jesus as? Who do you say he is? Verse 17 to 18. After Peter confessed, he said, "You are Messiah. You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." So the responsibility or the revelation is not something that is man-made. All right, it is a spiritual thing that comes upon us. Alright, it is a revelation that comes upon us through God our Father. And then he goes on to say, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, I did a bit of research, and apparently scholars have long debated what this rock is referred to. Alright, some say it is referring to Peter, some say it is referring to Christ as the foundation of the church. Alright, some say it's Peter, okay, it's referring to Peter because Peter is the one who's gonna build the church. But Because in Greek, Peter is Petros. Okay, Petros means small stone. Alright, it's not rock. Alright, rock has a different reference or a different Greek word. The Greek word used for rock is Petra. Alright, so because of that, the scholars have no long debated, okay, which, what does the rock actually, who is it, who does it refer to? Personally, as I read it, I believe it refers to both. Alright, Peter as well as Christ as the foundation. Now, once we confess who Christ is, once God deals with the individual, something must happen in our lives. Alright, so firstly, if we acknowledge Christ as the Son of the Living God, He consequently calls us to do His work. Alright, it's almost immediate. Alright, it is almost immediately that responsibility and the calling is given to us. The moment we confess who Christ is, there is work to be done, so-called. Alright, if I may put it that way. We, just like Peter, small stones, are called to reside in the core foundation in Christ Himself and to fulfill our calling in Him. Alright? He says, Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock, I will build my church. So, Christ is almost as if saying that you are the one that I'm going to use to build my church, and I will be the foundation of the church and of your belief. So whenever you confess who Christ is, Christ immediately calls us. Alright? The moment Peter responded and said, you are the Messiah, immediately God or Jesus gave him this responsibility. Almost immediately Jesus responded by saying that, you are Peter and upon this rock, I will build my church. Alright? That talks about a mission. That talks about a calling. That talks about work that needs to be done. Yes, Peter was called to build the church. Likewise, we are called to do so as well. Alright, so, like it or not, alright, the moment we confess who Christ is and we accept Him into our lives as the Lord and Savior, there is work to be done in the church. Alright, there is work to be done in the church. Why? I will deal with that later. And we have to acknowledge that the moment we acknowledge who Christ is, we must be plugged in to a church. Alright? God gave Peter that responsibility, but I also believe that God has given us that responsibility the moment we receive Him as our Lord and Savior. So the second point is, Jesus talks about the individual's life foundation and calling. So upon the confession of faith, a life calling or mission is given upon us. Alright, a lot of people say, you know, I don't know my life calling, I don't know my vision, I don't know, you know, what I'm supposed to do. And as I read this, as I was preparing for the message this week, I was convicted that if you don't know your life mission, let me give you the answer today. Alright, your basic mission or your basic calling is to build the church up. That's the most basic. Alright, so if you don't know, you know, you are at loss. Of course, some people have more specific calling, and even though if they have specific calling, they are still plugged into a local church because it is a priority. So the most basic ministry or vision or life calling, if you look at this passage alone, it is to be connected to the church and to build the church up. So, second point, it talks about the individual's life foundation and calling. Christ as the foundation and our calling to allow Him to use us as a rock. In other words, Christ, through us and through Christ Himself, He will build the church up. And, you know, I know Pastor Ed asked this question before last time, you know, and I don't think we have the answer, lah. Okay, we always ask it. Why in the world God wants to use us as human to do His work? I still don't know. Okay, I, you know, it's a rhetorical question. Okay. You know, why? Why in the world God wants to use people, alright, a community of people to do His work? We will never truly understand why. But that is very, very clear in the Bible. So the third point is this. Jesus talks about the corporate mode in which Christ uses to express His reign and His supremacy. All right? And on this rock, I will build my church. And on this rock, I will build my church. In other words, Christ is saying, it is through us, through Peter, through people like Peter, human beings, all right, believers of the same faith coming together. It is through us and through Christ as the foundation, the rock, that we will expand the work of God on earth. So the significance of that statement is this, all right, like I mentioned just now, one of the most basic and important calling in our life is to be in the assembly of His people. Now, church, the word church, basically, I think in the Greek word, it means assembly of people. Alright, people just coming together. Alright, so, it's community. So, if you look at Acts, it's the whole theme about being together, okay, community is a very important thing. Alright, in the Acts church. And, so the basic foundation or the basic calling is that we have to be in the assembly of His people. While we are on earth, we have to be part of God's assembly of people. Alright? And to build the local church. Why? Because if we acknowledge Christ as the Son of the living God, then the most basic corporate mode in which Christ has given us to express who Christ is, alright, means this tool that God has given us, alright, to express who God is, to express God's supremacy, God's divine love, grace, alright, that one mode that God has given us in a corporate setting is the church. Alright, is the church. Alright, that is why the church exists, because you look at Acts, community people or people coming together, what did they do? Yes, they commune with one another, but beyond that, they are expressing God's grace, God's love. They are the extension of God's grace and supremacy, showing God's grace and supremacy through this community of people, the church. Point number three, Jesus talks about the corporate mode in which Christ uses to express His supremacy. All right, and that is the church. And then Jesus continues on and declares this over Peter, and He says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." What does this talk about? The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, shall not overcome it. This talks about the eternal value and power of the church. Alright, this talks about the eternal value and the power of the church. Alright, so we cannot at any point say that, the church is not important. Alright, because for Jesus to say that, you know, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, is something very, very crucial, right? Alright, this is declared by Christ Himself. The gates of Hades will not overcome. So that talks about the church eternal value and power. Everything that we have on earth, family, you look at your priority again, okay? You look at the list of priority. Everything that we have on earth, whether your family, your work, your finance, your friends, your house, all will cease to exist. All will cease to exist. Alright, but the church Here Christ says the church, even the gates of Hades, will not overcome it. And, you know, the most powerful thing and the most powerful depiction of the church is that, you know, Christ describes it as a marriage. Alright? A marriage that will last through time and through eternity. Alright? Christ, the bridegroom, alright, is waiting for the bride, and we are the church. And that talks about this intimate relationship that we have with Christ. This eternal relationship that we have in Christ. So we cannot disregard the importance of the church, and we cannot say that church is, yeah, you know, it's just man-made. You know, it's just an idea that, you know, this group of people come together and then poof, you know, church appear. But it has a spiritual significance. More than that, it has an eternal consequence to it. Fifth point, alright, Jesus continues to say, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Fifth point, Jesus talks about the spiritual authority that the church has. Alright, it is a responsibility that the church has to carry. While this is referred to Peter as an individual, you know, thing, I also believe that it is a church thing as well. Alright, it is a church responsibility. So while on earth we have governments to govern us, alright, we have our bosses, you know, workplace, our pastors and all that, which is important, Christ has made it clear that He has given us, believers in Christ, alright, the church, alright, as God's spiritual authority on earth. Alright, we are the ones that needs to represent Him. Alright, we are His ambassadors, alright, and the Bible says we are His ambassadors. Alright, and here, God clearly says that this has to do with authority. Alright, we have been given the authority to change things in the spiritual. Alright, we have the authority to change things in the spiritual. First point, Jesus deals directly first and foremost with our self, the individual. Alright, a lot of times we ask, why is the church important? I want to backtrack that a bit more. And instead of asking why is the church important first, you need to ask, who do you say God is? And firstly, Jesus deals with the individual, the core belief. Second point, Jesus talks about the individual's life foundation and calling upon that confession of faith. A calling comes upon you. Alright, maybe some of us don't realize that. Okay? Maybe some of us are not aware that, oh wow, I got this, you know, responsibility. And today, I want to tell you that you have that responsibility. Third, Jesus talks about the corporate mode in which Christ uses to express His reign and His supremacy, and that is through the church. Alright, yes, you know, individually we can do our own thing to, you know, well, share the gospel and this and that, you know, do ministry and that, this and that. Alright, but the fact that God has given us this corporate mode, which is the church, that shows that it means something to Him. And the fact that He can relate Himself to the church as the bridegroom and the bride, it means something dear to Him. Fourth, it talks about the eternal value and power of the church. Fifth, it talks about the spiritual authority that the church has. So if we understand five of these key things, we have to admit that membership in your local church is a priority. Alright, not so much for, wow, now GCC got 30 fellas. Nah, next week got 31. Next week got 32. So on and so forth. Alright, but it is you are here because you understand the calling that God has placed in your heart. You understand the responsibility that comes upon the confession of faith. And I believe some of us are not aware of that, perhaps. Alright, some of us see it as a routine, as a chore. Alright, and today, hopefully, with the Holy Spirit, we can shift our perspective on that. And as I did my research on church priority, again, I look up the John Piper, and he says this, okay, very interesting. And if you forget all five things I mentioned just now, alright, if it's too complicated or you don't understand, I want you to remember this. Alright, he says this. He put it very, very nicely. He says this. The local church is a community of Christians. Alright, made up of individuals who confesses that Christ is the Son of the Living God. Alright, so first and foremost again, alright, it deals with the individual. Alright, it is made up of individuals who confess that Christ is the Son of the Living God. Alright, the local church is a community of Christians who live as the on-the-ground expression of the supremacy of Jesus. Alright, who live as the on-the-ground expression of the supremacy of Jesus by advancing His gospel in distance and in depth. So, there are basically three key things here if you look at this particular definition that is given by John Piper. There are three important things here that he draws out. Okay, the first thing he says, a community of Christians. Alright, and as I mentioned earlier on, alright, the most important thing is the individual. The church ceases to exist if individuals don't live up to their calling and don't acknowledge who Christ is. Then the church will cease to exist. So the community of believers coming together, alright, is crucial to the local church. Second part of this saying, he says, it is on the ground expression of the supremacy of Jesus. Now, being in sports ministry, one of the struggles that we have in GSN, alright, right now, one of the main problems we have is we lack of coaches. We are lacking of coaches. Okay, we have basically, so if some of you want to become coaches, please come talk to me. Alright? We have used all our resources in terms of coaches. Alright? Good coaches. And we are in the midst of thinking of growing more and training more coaches. Now, why is it important to grow coaches? Alright? Coaches, alright, are the key in connecting with people like Joseph. Alright? People like Dina, people like Yan Han. Alright, coaches are the ones that are in the school week in, week out, connecting with these people. And if we don't have coaches, then we don't have people who is linked directly at the grassroots level. So we are constantly thinking, how can we get more coaches to go inside? Alright? Okay? Plant more coaches in school so that the effective ministry can take place. Alright? Effective connections can be made. And similarly with Christ, what Christ is saying is that church is like the coaches. Alright? And the people like Dina, Yan Han, you know, Joseph, all these people, they are like the community around us. Alright? They are like the community around us. So, Christ has given us the church to be the grassroots level, alright, which is on earth. While we are on earth, Christ has given the church this responsibility to express His reign, to express who Christ is, to express His goodness, to express His supremacy. The church has that responsibility and that function. Alright, imagine if there's no church. Alright. Then how are we going to reach out and be connected with the people around us? if we don't have coaches, Dina wouldn't be here today. Correct or not? Right? So we need to prioritize the church. Third, he says, advancing the gospel in distance and depth. Alright, this talks about, distance talks about a place. Distance talks about locality. Alright, depth talks about belief, the core or the essence of the belief. Alright? Like it or not, place matters. Alright? A place matters. Okay, so if you look at the epistles and all that, alright, the book of Acts, I mentioned last week, every time there's a community of believers, each community has a different sort of issues that they face because they are located at a place where the issues are different, the struggles are different, the way, what they're expressing about who Christ is, the focus is different. So, in advancing the gospel, we must be plugged into a church that has a vision that is advancing the gospel of Christ in that community. Alright, in the community. That is why we always emphasize on the vision of the church, because the vision of the church is the one that brings us together, is the one that ties us together and say, yes, this is the vision, this is the thing that we believe God has given to this church, and we want to grow that. The supremacy of Jesus is expressed not just in the church, in the universal church, all right, but here in the touchable, smellable, hearable planet, okay, God used the church as that tangible sense that people can, be connected with. All right, it is touchable. All right, it is relatable. It is connectable. All right, and that is why the church exists. So, hopefully, by bringing out these points, if any of you feel that, maybe you come and then you come with this question, I don't know the significance of being part and parcel of a church. I don't know what is it so important. Alright, of being part and parcel of the church. I just want to come, enjoy the fellowship, go out for dinner after this. Some of you may be sitting here, I don't know, maybe thinking about dinner already or what to eat. Okay? Alright? If you are in that position today, alright, I want you all to consider again the importance of church in your life. No matter how insignificant it may sometimes feel. Okay? Sometimes you may feel it is insignificant to come to church. It is insignificant to be part and parcel of the church. No matter how insignificant you may feel sometimes, our participation in that fellowship is one of the most important things about our Christian life. Alright? That is one of the most basic and core thing of a Christian walk and Christian discipline. Alright, begin today with the question, how much do you want to grow? Alright, and that question has to do with how much do we prioritize church? Again, not so for the fact of getting the numbers up. Numbers matters. Alright, if you look at X, numbers do matter. Alright, but if you look at the five element, okay, the first element, it has to do with the individual. It is always about the individual's growth, belief, and calling that will rally the church. So even if you have 10,000 fellows, but our foundation and our individual belief is not strong, it is not effective. Okay? So that's the first question. I hope I answered some of the questions. The why question is important because I hope that there is a shift of mindset and understanding of why is it important to be part and parcel of a local church. Alright, I want to challenge, especially the younger ones perhaps. Alright, maybe you see church as something that, you know, I just have to come because I say I'm committed, so I have to come. But I want to challenge you to change your mindset and to see that it has eternal value. It is a mandate and responsibility that God has given us. Alright, and then, now you may ask, how then do we prioritize church over family, work, studies, sports? Alright, question number two. This is more of the how-to. Alright, practical. Now, there's a million ways to answer this question. Alright, we have questions like, ayo, you know what if floorball match on Sunday, alright, play for national team, and clash, how? Don't go for national competition, okay, just come to church. If there's, you know, tuition, how? You know, we can maneuver the question all over the place. But today what I attempt to do is not to answer specifically to those questions, but I'm gonna try and give you practical guidelines that will hopefully help you manage your time better. Alright? The first thing is this. The first thing is it has to come back to understanding. Okay, it has to come back. All, as impractical as it may be, alright, you have to ask the question, what do you believe in? Alright, what do you believe in? Alright, that question has to come in play. Otherwise, you'll be coming here because you believe that you're here because I asked you to come. Or, you know, JCS, they call me, ask me to come, so I come. Alright, you will function in that mode and that belief system. So you have to ask that question, what do you believe in? Alright, the second thing that you need to do is to understand that it is important to be accountable. Alright, this is the practical part of how to manage. Of course, there are many things that will come up once in a while. Alright, of course, there are things like, you know, family matters, okay, family dinner, you know, things like that, that may affect your time in church and all, so on and so forth. Alright, but one of the main thing that we have to put in place to help us guard and manage our church priority is being accountable. And that is why GCC is very emphasized highly on accountability. Not so much of, wow, JC, why you never come? I'm going to, you know, minus 10 points. Okay? Something like that. Okay? But it is about growth. It is about growth. How much do you want to grow? If you want to grow, then you have to be accountable to somebody. Alright? If my player wants to grow, he has to be accountable to me as a coach. Alright? If I ask him to do, hey, every day you must do ball control half an hour and, you know, watch TV and do whatever it is. Or you want to be a good wall climber, okay? Climb every week. Go climb with Travis. Okay? You have to be accountable to somebody if you want to see growth. Alright? And that is the function of being accountable to the church. Alright, I know some of us may struggle with that, but again, it comes down to understanding the intention behind the accountability. Alright, the reason for that is always about the growth of the individual and the church. Alright, the third thing is I'm gonna put this bold statement and say that you want to make it practical is you should as best as possible. Alright? Again, things may come up. Alright? I know because, you know, things may come up. Alright? But if we want it to be really, 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 really practical, then one of the things that we shouldn't and cannot compromise is corporate worship together. Coming on a Sunday evening here at GCC, alright, making it a priority. Alright, so if you have tuition, my advice is shift the tuition around. Alright, if cannot shift, then even better, I say, don't go for tuition, go and study yourself. Okay? Go start a study group or something. Okay? And then do ministry there, so even better, right? Okay, so one of the key things, the most practical thing, is to keep, make it a priority. Keep into your calendar and make it a priority to come for the corporate worship and service together, because that is the mode in which Christ uses to express His supremacy, right? Who He is. First, you got to ask, what do you believe in? Alright? Second, JC. Accountability. Alright, accountability. Alright, you have to have accountability. Alright, it's as simple as, if I'm lazy, I'm just going to tell Termin, hey Termin, make sure, next week, give me a text, I lazy, score me, I give you the permission to score me and nag me. Alright, because I want to grow. Alright, the third thing is, don't compromise coming together. Alright, the Bible says, don't neglect meeting together. Alright, don't neglect meeting together. I want to end by challenging all of us to think about the priorities that you written down just now. Alright? To look at it and then ask yourself again where the church should be and how can I right now begin to shift that priority. Alright? Ask yourself the question, where should the church be right now? Alright? That question deals with what do you believe in? Alright? If you believe that, you're just here, then your priority will remain where it is. Alright? But if you're convicted by the word today, then it must cause you to begin to think about, okay, how can I change that list of priority? How can I shift that list of priority? Okay? Before I end, I want to pray for all of us. And I know some of us are perhaps struggling to see the importance of church. Maybe the younger ones, you may not understand and education and all these things, the pressure of, studying and all that kind of stuff. But I want to challenge you today to really dig deep and really be bold. If you know in your heart right now that church should be a priority, then declare it. Alright, the how-to, we can deal with it later. The crucial thing is it important to you? Okay? Can I pray for you guys? Father, we wanna thank you for today, Father Lord, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to come together as one body. We thank you, Father Lord, for the church, that you have used the church, Father Lord, for this deep work on earth, Father Lord. And sometimes we don't understand, Father Lord, why you choose us, why you use us, Father Lord, sinners. A community of believers is coming together, Father, we don't understand. But today we want to ask, Lord, that you would teach us to really dig deep and ask ourselves, where do we hold regards to when it comes to the church? And Father, for those of us who are struggling with whatever issues that we may have, whatever priorities that we may have, whatever differences that we may have, Father Lord, Father, I ask that you would help these people to lay down these issues, Father Lord, that their eyes will be able to see why you have created the church, Father Lord. And that is for the purpose of expressing who you are. That is for the purpose of growth. That is for the purpose, Father Lord, of just ministering to one another in the body of Christ and to outsiders as well, Father Lord. Father, I pray for those of you who have yet to know you, that even as this message is being conveyed, Father Lord, that something in their hearts would be shifted, Father Lord, that they would see something different about church, Father Lord. That it is not just a place of fellowshipping together, Father Lord, but it is a place where you are lifted up, Father Lord. Where we celebrate your goodness, where we come and worship the Son of the Living God. So I pray, Father Lord, that you open the hearts of people here, Father Lord, who have not known you, Father Lord. Open up their hearts, that they would see who you are, Father Lord. Just as Peter declared that you are the Son of the Living God, Father Lord, that these people would declare that you are the Son of the Living God, Father Lord. So we thank you, Father Lord, for this sign. Bless us, Father Lord. Shift our perspective. Teach us, Father Lord, to be practical in how we rearrange our time and our priorities, Father Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And thanks, Chris, for laying a foundation for us. The Lord asked me to pray for a revelation. So ask the church to pray for a revelation. As I was listening to the word, the Lord gave me four words. The first is revelation. I like to watch movies, right? Some dare not. It's not a sin, okay? It's okay to nod your head. A lot of movies have this kind of genre. Just recently, I watched Mad Max. I don't know why I watched the movie, but you know, I was watching that movie, and have you seen that movie? Okay, two. I'm referring to this movie simply because I watched it recently. Okay, I'm sure there are many movies like that. So what happens in this movie is there's this, I don't know what you call him. I don't even remember. This big dictator, king or whatever, and he gets people to work under him, and all this, there's all these guys who are all bleached and bald, and he has all these people work under him. All right, so they are right in the middle of the desert, and the whole movie basically is about this lady trying to smuggle out a group of girls, one of them a pregnant lady who actually is the wife of this dictator guy, and smuggle this group of ladies to some place which is greener, right? And so the whole show talks about how this guy wants to get his wife back and all that. And there's this particular guy who works, don't even remember his name, works for the king or whatever, and he's in pursuit. But in the midst of the show, comes in contact with this group of ladies, and what happens then is there is a shift in purpose in life. He ends up somewhere, in the middle of the show, giving up his life so that these ladies can escape. There is a shift because of a revelation, an encounter. As I was sitting there, the Lord prompted in my heart, pray for a revelation for every single one of the people that is here. And we need to come before the Lord and ask for a revelation, because that changes everything. Some of us have been Christians for a long time, and we know the word, But I ask this question, do we have a revelation of the word? It's totally different. We may know the word, but do we have a revelation of the word? Because the revelation changes everything. And Chris was saying, you know, it's all about the individual. God wants to give each one of us a revelation of who He is and what He's doing in our midst. And that revelation must cause us to arise in confession. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because when we realize something and we begin to confess it, our actions begin to change. We can be a Christian for a long time. We can come to church in and out. We can know this is what we have to do. Yeah, we have to be plugged into a church. Yes, you know, you have to be accountable. And it's great that, you know, Chris just said, these are principles. But how much do we embrace that will depend on the revelation of God upon our lives. Upon the revelation of God's word upon our lives. And perhaps some of us here right now, we need to come before the Lord and say, God, I need a new revelation from you. Because the revelation will cause you to go, hey, did you know? And perhaps there's some of us, if there's a graph, our Christian walks out plateaued already, you know. How many of us are really excited about church, coming to church? Today's Sunday, you know, we're going to come. Today's Sunday, okay, I got to be accountable and go to church, lah. No revelation. Because revelation must cause you to respond in a certain way. If I say, you know, hey, did you know the ringgit is going up? Oh, some of your eyes open up, No, that's not revelation. I'm praying that this will happen, you know. But when you say something like that, something happens. When it's spiritual, something more happens. Revelation must lead us to confession. Don't just stop there. It must begin to come out of us. And when that happens, when we begin to confess, you know what the Lord told Peter? Peter, you are the rock. Revelation leads to confession, and then there is a position that is given. Peter, you are. I give you the keys. The keys talks about authority. Chris talked about that authority that is given to us, right? Keys talk about authority. If you have keys of your car, you have authority over your car. If you have the keys to your house, you have authority over your house. If you have the keys to the storeroom, you have authority over everything in the storeroom. Keys. And Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Wow. And a lot of us don't realize that. Why? Because there's no revelation. You don't even know what are the keys that you have in your pocket, you know. How many of you? You know, in the physical, you come across that situation, you pull out a bunch of keys and like, what's this key? Is it my, you know, is it my locker or is it, must be one of those things. You know, some of us in the spirit, we don't realize the keys that we have. Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. We don't realize that because we don't have a revelation. We don't walk in confession. And then Jesus released Peter and says, go. He gives him a commission. And that's what church is about. And Chris said it, I don't know, 100 times I think. It all begins with the individual. It all begins with us. As individuals. Having a revelation of who God is. And that's what church is about. How do you balance your priorities? It all begins with a revelation. God, what are you doing in my life? You know, when He asks us to write our priorities, I put number one, Number one, what God is saying to me. And after that, as he begins to speak, I realize, hey, wait a minute, that is revelation. So my number one priority that I wrote down, well, what is your priority in life? Number one, what God is saying to me right now. And if I don't have the revelation of what God is saying to me, it's not going to be a priority at all. As he began to speak, I realized that that itself is revelation. And church, we need that. We need that right now. Perhaps some of us need it more than others. We need to come before the Lord and say, God, reveal yourself to me. Reveal something. Reveal some part of your word. Some part of yourself to me right now. Because that's going to change everything. Let's bow our heads right now. As the worship team begins to lead us, just say one prayer to the Lord. Reveal yourself. Lord, give me a revelation. Say that prayer right now as the worship team begins to lead us. You say that prayer right now before we walk out of this place. Lord, I need a revelation right now. Reveal yourself. Reveal something, Lord. I want to be excited about church. I want to be excited about you. I want to be excited about the things of the Spirit, the things of the kingdom. Give me a revelation.